Why don't you open your Bibles to Psalm 52. I'm going to kick the evening off. This is really, the Lord just put it on my heart just for us to kind of share what we're, you know, in what Thanksgiving really is for us. Yes, Thanksgiving was what the pilgrims did in really honoring what, you know, God bringing them to this new country and all that God had provided and protected them through and all those other things. But for the church, it's so much more than that. And so some of you got little sheets, and if you didn't get one, it's okay, because I can't, we don't have time for everybody. This is something that the Lord just kind of prepared. And so you'll notice that if you got one of those sheets, there's a number on it. Let's keep track of it. And all I'm really asking is they're scriptures of Thanksgiving and to share what you're thankful for. And so we're going to just minister to one another, an opportunity for you all to share. And so as you know, there's sharing, you can kind of start making your way up, so that the idea is that it's not a time-consuming thing. It's really to honor and glorify the Lord here, and that He's magnified, as we've been saying. Magnify the Lord in this place. So important. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want you in the forefront. We're so grateful for all that you have done and provided for us, Lord. I'm grateful for these people. Lord, my family, what a privilege it has been for us to be citizens, Lord, of a nation just not unlike Israel, Lord, that is turning its heart from you, but Lord, so blessed we could have been born any other place, Lord, and I pray that we would, and we've taken it for granted to a great extent, and now, Lord, we'll suffer the consequences of that, but Lord, turn our hearts and our eyes and our ears to you, Lord, because we're pilgrims passing through, citizens of eternity, a much higher place, Lord. But use us for your glory while we're here, and just bless this time, Lord. Be honored in what we say and what we do. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church, and we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So, Psalm 52, it says, to the chief musician, a contemplation of David, when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. And so background on that, David is running from Saul. Jonathan, Saul's son, comes to David and said, Saul wants to kill you. He's looking for you. And so David with a couple of his men take off, and as they go, he leaves without any weapons or any supplies, and as he's going out, he goes by the house of God in Nob, and the priest was Ahimelech. And so some of you know the story. He goes in, he says, look, I am on a mission. Saul has sent me on a mission. I had to leave in haste, and so I need some food. And Ahimelech said, we don't have anything. He goes, well, what about the table of showbread? And so David takes from the table of showbread and then asks him, are there any weapons there? And Ahimelech says, the only weapon that's here is the sword of Saul that you took, I mean, sword of Goliath that you took from him. It's been, you know, we've kept it here. It's been wrapped in cloths, and you can take that. So David takes the showbread and the sword. What we're told in the scriptures was that Doeg the Edomite was detained by the Lord in the temple there at the time that David was there. And so David leaves, they flee, he goes to Keilah and one other place. And so there's a period of time between David being there with Ahimelech, and then we see a picture of Saul, and he is on in an open area on a plain, with a number of his advisors, and Saul is, you know, whining to them, you know, none of you have been telling me any of the things that have going on, where David is. You know, I found out, I just found out that Jonathan, my son, has made a covenant with David, a covenant of friendship. And that, you know, Jonathan has been, you know, advising him and telling him things that have been going on. But and you all know that this is going on, but you're not telling me. Oh, woe is me. Saul, you know, crybaby, goes, you know, I'm the one that gives you all of the fields, and I'll give you, in you know, land and riches if you advise me and tell me the things that are going on. And now it says that Doeg was there, and we know that Doeg had been detained by the Lord at the time that David was there. And so Doeg's been holding on to this information, and now that he sees an opportunity. And Doeg was the minister of the flocks. So he was in charge of all the sheep, shepherds, and all the flocks of Saul. But now he sees an opportunity to enrich himself and advance in Saul's favor. And so Doeg says, "Hey, I was at the house, you know, house of the Lord, and Ahimelech gave him bread and the sword of Goliath, and was helping him out." And so Saul said, "Call for Ahimelech." And so they called for Ahimelech, and Ahimelech and 70 other of the priesthood there showed up with their families. And so they started questioning him, and he said, "Hey, David has done nothing but been a man of character, you know, for you, Saul. He has done everything that you have asked him to do. And he said that he was sent on a mission by you. I had no reason to think otherwise because of the integrity of David, even though David lied about what he was doing." He goes, "So I helped him out along the way." And so basically, you know, he was honest with them. He goes, "Yeah, I did these things for him because I had no reason to believe that what he was saying was a lie." And so Saul ordered his guards to kill Ahimelech and all of the priests and all their family that were there. And the guards would not do it. And so he looked at Doeg and he said, "Doeg, kill Ahimelech." And they killed Ahimelech, all 70 of those that were there and their family. And then it says he went to Nob and killed every man, woman, child, all of their sheep and their ox, all of their flocks. So Doeg wipes all of them out in order because, you know, thinking that Saul is going to give him more authority and more wealth and more riches. And so that's what this psalm is about. "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, working deceitfully." You know, there are six things God hates, yea, seven, it says in the Proverbs. And deceit and the lying tongue are amongst those things. God hates things, these things. And so, you know, your tongue devises destruction. So, you know, he was holding this information, and when it was going to be a benefit to him, he was willing to let David know, Saul know, that David had been there, that he had seen it. "You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness, Selah." And it's very interesting when you really consider the time that we're living in right now. And we do, we get together and we discuss it. It's frustrating, right? But this is a time of thanksgiving. That's what I want to get us focused on, because David, you know, is going to, he's saying these things about Doeg and what was going on behind the scenes and stuff like that. But we're going to see David always ends with, you know, with acknowledgement of the goodness of God and his grace, you know, and the things that David is thankful for, just like we should be today. But nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. When the children of Israel came to Samuel and said, "We want a king like all of the other nations around here," you know, Samuel got bummed out, but he went before the Lord and said, "Look, Lord, they're not happy with, you know, with what's going on, and you know, you anointed me to lead these people, but they want a king." And God said, go back to them and let them know it's going to be a heavy yoke that's upon them, like it is upon all the peoples around here. The taxes are going to be higher. They're not going to be happy. Yeah, we don't care. We want a king. And it plays itself out, you know, that the children, the man's governance over man has always been imperfect. And it certainly was during that time. Saul wanted to kill David. Ultimately, Saul would recognize that David was the one that would be the king, and just he said, look, you know what? Be good to my household and my family, recognizing that it was going to happen. But David says, hey, look, the things going on behind the scenes were deceitful. Man loves lying more than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. Devouring words, you know, there's a lot. And you can, we can see the wickedness and evil in people. It's evident in how they live, but it's even more evident in the words that they use and how they twist words. We're watching it today. You know, I was thinking about all of the words, the redefining of words that we see today in order to advance evil and wickedness. Preferences, gender, it's caused confusion. There's two sexes. There's male and female. Marriage and what marriage is. Marriage is God's covenant. It was the first one that he instituted way back at creation. And they've tried to change that. Life. What is life? Pronouns. And the clear use as defined in our English language. Man and woman are being redefined. They're no longer genetic fact, but they are based on feelings today. The defining of man and woman is based on feelings, not genetic fact. They're trying to change that. Recession. Safe and effective. Vaccine. You know, they're calling the flu shot the flu vaccine now. Watch it. Equity. Truth. Science that they're promoting is not the science that we have historically ever had. There's no opposing or dissenting observations. You have to have both in order to come to a right conclusion. And so just, you know, the craziness and the twisting of things and what we see the world doing, because so much of what science has discovered and everything else is supported by the Word of God. We find it in the Word of God. It's really astounding how much of scientific fact and all these other things are actually right there in plain view, you know, in the Scriptures. So we see that the devouring words, the deceitful tongue, James had a lot to say about the tongue, you know. It's like a rudder. It's small, but it can direct a large ship. And the tongue today being used, and it's being used, you know, they're very, trying to think of the words that I want to use. They're crafty in how they're using words and language today. But he said, God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away, pluck you out of your dwelling place, and uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. I mean, you're talking about Doeg and the wicked and everything else. Ultimately, that's what is going to happen. The righteous all shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. And it's not like, you know, laugh, mocking. It's that understanding that, look, judgment is going to come. Here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. And so that's what he was doing. He was using that information, self-enrichment. It was wickedness. And he knew exactly what Saul was doing was wrong. But David says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." Even all these things are going on around. Everybody is after me. They're devising their evil plans, you know, and trying to you know, they were hunting David down. And Doeg could have kept to himself what he had seen. Instead, he told Saul what was going on. But David's like, "I'll trust in the mercy of the God forever." When he finally confronts Saul, remember, he's in the cave, and it says that it was the cave that David and his men had been hiding in. Saul went in to relieve himself, basically go to the bathroom. And while he was, Dave cut off part of the hem of his cloak. And they said, "Kill him now." He said, "No. God forbid that I raise a hand against the Lord's anointed." In fact, he was felt guilty for just cutting off that part because the hem of the cloak was the authority of the man that was wearing it. And so because he didn't, you know, he didn't feel that God raised Saul up, God was going to take Saul out. And but David said, he goes, "Saul, look, I had the opportunity. I want you to know I have never wanted to kill you. I've never wanted to depose you or anything else." And so Saul finally realizes that Dave was the one that was anointed. He would be the king. But David always trusted in the mercy of God. "I will praise you forever because you have done it. In the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good." It is good. David was always, you know, and we know one of the first things he did once God, you know, Hebron and Jerusalem were united, when God used David to unite all the tribes of Israel, that he went and to get the Ark of the Covenant, great thanksgiving and joy as he brought that Ark into the into the city of David, into Zion. And so thanksgiving, you know, the theme that we're going to end with communion, but I want to just kind of us to share and just look at the scriptures and just really kind of hear God's heart. But, you know, I really want to hear your all your heart too. So each of you have, there's some of you that have a sheet, starts with one, which is Pastor Kevin. He's going to come up, and then Noah is going to be ready to go. And so let's just go ahead and see what the Lord has, and I want to hear what your heart is. And so, Kevin, let's get us started. And try and time and keep it rolling here. So,
Psalm 26, a psalm of David. "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with the idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with the hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord." What am I thankful for? I'll say some of the basic things. Of course, family. I'm blessed to have a church family like this. But what I really love is I love God's grace because I need it on a daily basis. Everybody has life verses. They talk about what's... I don't really have a life verse, but one of the first ones I had when I started coming to Calvary and became a Christian that really sat with me was Galatians 2:21. "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." I need his grace every day because... I may even thought of, like Pastor Bill says, "I drive, therefore I sin. I wake up in the morning, therefore I stumble." It's his grace that I need every day all the time, and I'm so thankful that it's not relying on my work and what I have to do. It's on him and the finished work on the cross.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Hello. So Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 through 15. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So, okay, I had to think about this. It's been a while since I've been up here, but I just wanted to say I was thankful for all the people that some people know me as Team Noah. My name's Noah, so there you go. But Team Noah, my parents, all the people that have helped me out through academics and whatever else. All those people. And no one person is an island, as they like to say, and I would tend to agree with that. And also, God puts the people in your life that at the right time, always. And that's just it. But thank you.
Hey, y'all. Psalm 69, starting at verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with the song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad. And ye who seek God, your heart shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. And so I'm thankful for the Lord's provision every day. The Lord tells us not to worry, but this is the real world down here. And you have medical bills and you have college bills, and the Lord has blessed me with two jobs and two raises since September. So the Lord provides. The Lord taught Moses when he would provide the manna. If you take too much, it's going to spoil, but if you take a little bit, it'll still be enough. There's always just enough. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Hello. Psalm 101 through 5. A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. He is who he has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name. For God is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations. I'm really thankful that God gave me a home church, and getting to know all you guys. I've only been here probably since Easter, but I'm blessed. It's been a while since I've been to church. I think the last time I went to church is the church I was currently at, which closed their doors right before the pandemic. So I kind of took like a little over 2 year sabbatical off, and I knew the guy was aching at my heart. I was like, listen, I gave you a talent to play drums. You need to use it or you're going to lose it. So I'm just thankful that God's brought me to this place and that I'm able to use my talents and to see what he has for the future. And I just enjoy playing music and being praising his name, being in the worship team. So thank you.
This is from Psalm 107, 1 through 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, all my life I was an outsider looking in. Never had a place, never belonged to the crowd. I always felt I must have been born with a missing part. There's something everyone else knows that I don't. I grew up with that. And then I called on the Lord and he answered me. Now I got a home, a city, you know. How's it go? A city without foundations, whose builder and maker is God. City which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so I'm just thankful that he called us all out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Psalm 107:9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in afflictions and irons, because they rebelled against the word of God and defies the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there were none to help.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
What are you thankful for? I'm thankful for God, that I can come to him each time and he listens to my prayers. And I'm also thankful for this church, all the friends, and I'm thankful for my very godly wife.
And I'm thankful for this man, because he does not deserve me, let me tell you. He takes very good care of me, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for bringing us together. He makes beauty from ashes. Amen, because my life was an ash heap, and he brought me a godly man and family and grandkids, and it's just such a blessing. And the gift of song, it's so much fun up here. It really is. It's such a blessing to be able to praise with all of you. And I'm thankful for forgiveness and repentance. Amen.
Okay, I have Psalm 107, 16 through 21. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Well, I'm thankful for these kids, because before then, I was kind of wandering. My wife and I were wandering. We weren't really following God at the time. And, you know, we had these kids, and we started bringing them in on Sundays and dropping them off to the children's ministry. And before you know it, we started coming in on Sundays. And I'm thankful for all the people in this fellowship and for my parents who prayed for us to come to the church, because obviously their prayers were answered, and that just shows how good God is. He answers your prayers
we never lack for anything, we never want for anything, because God takes care of us on a daily basis, and I'm just grateful that I've had this faith now that I didn't have before. What are you thankful for, girls?
Say it.
Family.
And what about you, Kira?
I'm thankful for everything in the world and God and how Jesus was on the cross for us and he died for us.
Thank you.
First off, I'm thankful I have no girls. Amen. Psalm 107, starting at verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I am thankful for God's word. I didn't go down to the sea, I went up to the air. And I rose up and fell down. And there were times I couldn't see what to do next, but God guided that. His word guides and directs me in times of trouble, times of peace. And in times of trouble, it comforts and consoles. The trials of this life, my greatest storms, the hardest nights, he comforts me. And if it takes 1,000 sleepless nights to know he's near, his word confirms that. Anything else?
As many of you know, our son Timothy was killed on June 25th, 2021. And we knew he was killed on a Friday. And we knew we needed to be here on Sunday because we knew that our church family would surround us with love and prayers and would be there for us, as you all have been there since then and will continue to be that way with your love and your kindness to us and to Noah and for your prayers. We covet your prayers as we walk through this life.
Amen.
Hello, everybody. Denny was going to read this, but he told me that I should read it because, believe it or not, this scripture verse is the first scripture verse that God gave me, that Jesus gave me after I was saved. So I'm going to read it. Psalm 116, 1. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice in my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. And then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all of his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. You know, when he gave me this scripture, I thought, why, I just feel like yelling this out or standing up in church and saying this scripture. I wonder if I'll ever be able to say this scripture to in front of the body of Christ. And here I am reading it. I guess what am I thankful for? The Lord is my kinsman redeemer. He rescued me from a life without him. I don't really know where I would be without him. And then a year later, he brought my husband to know the Lord. And so I'm just really thankful for that, that Denny and I are both in the Lord and walking with him and not in the world anymore. So I'm just so grateful for that.
I am thankful that even though, well, after running a business for 42 years so far and being married for 47 years, I'm thankful that even though I make my plans, that the Lord, he truly directs each footstep. Pam would see me get stressed out, you know, with work-related things. I think things are supposed to go my way. And then she brought to my attention a great revelation that the universe does not revolve around Denny Menando. But I am thankful that I know the King of the universe.
Can you see? Good evening. All right. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praises is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. So, what are we thankful for, Emma? First, I was going to say, I was thankful for 44 years of 20/20 perfect vision, and now I got to stand up like this far to be able to read this. But in all seriousness, a lot of the things that I'm thankful for have already been shared. I think one of them that is unique to us, my wife and I, is that we came to this country. I remember back in 1996 when my dad received a promotion and it required that the whole family would have to relocate from Venezuela to Florida. And I was a young 17-year-old that didn't want to do that, right? I thought I had my life figured out and I was going to go straight into college, stay with my friends. But I gave it a chance, and one of the things that I'm really grateful for is this country, is the freedoms that many times we take for granted. It gave me the ability to meet my wife and now have a beautiful family. It gave me a great job to support that family. It gave me a great fellowship and church here. We've been almost 20 years at this church in Michigan, and so I think that's one of the great things, that it's always in my heart to be thankful for the opportunities that were granted to us and that now have us here. So, thanks.
We're going by Sandy's counting, so we think we're number 11. So number 12, you're next. We have 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but things which are unseen are eternal. So, honey, what are you thankful for?
Oh, wait a minute, go first. The thing that came to mind as I was sitting there contemplating what I would say is that God is not finished with me yet, and that I have hope that I'll be better. But I'm a work in progress, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for Mark.
Some days she is. I'm thankful for her. I wouldn't do it without her, I'll tell you. I'm thankful that in 2009 God allowed me to stay here, to be alive. And
I'm thankful for that.
And I agree with her that God's not finished with us yet.
First of all, I'm thankful for that I've got my glasses because Bill didn't make this print very big. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet self-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What am I thankful for? My wife is sitting in the back pew. As most of you know, we have, for the last, we've been married for 45 years. And for the last almost 2 years, we've been in a storm unlike any that we've ever experienced in our life. God promises in Hebrews and Deuteronomy that he will never leave or forsake us. And the verse that I clung to since, I think when this began, Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I know that for the last almost 2 years, Nancy and I have totally relied on the Lord with the experience that we've been going through, the journey, if you will, that we're on. And God has not failed us. He has not forsaken us, nor has he left us. At every turn, no matter how bleak things looked, and even now things are bleak, but yet God is with us, and he will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. He strengthens us daily. And believe me, there's been times when we wept and had great fear, but God calmed our hearts. He strengthened us, and he never let go. So what am I thankful for? I'm thankful for God that knows who we are, even the hairs on my head, and no matter what we're going through, his promises are true, that he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. And you can believe what I say, because what we've gone through and are going through, we could not do without God and without his promises, and he is true.
Okay, this is out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." What am I thankful for? You know, just like everybody else, we're all thankful for our families and friends and loved ones. But I think one thing that, and Bill was talking a little earlier and I was thinking about it, it's this world is such a mess. And I'm really thankful for the fact that for all of us, we got to realize that God's in control, and it's not the politicians, and it's not the movers and the shakers, but he's in control. And I think because of that, you know, we can all rest assured that we can have a peace that's, you know, beyond understanding. In my personal study, I've been going through Acts, the second chapter, in the last week, and it's something I think I'd say that I'm thankful for, and I'm sure that all of the rest of you are too. You know, we're living in an age where the churches are just so messed up, so woke. But as I read through that second chapter of Acts, at the end of the chapter, it talks about how the Holy Spirit, as you remember in Acts 2, it talks about the birth of the church. But it talks about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit got the church going. And the things that they did were the things that we do. You know, it says at the end of the second chapter of Acts that they read the scriptures, they had fellowship, they broke bread, and they prayed. And I think we can all be thankful for the fact that we belong to a church that hasn't gone this woke mode, and we can, it remains truthful and truthful to the word.
Right up here. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. What I'm thankful for, you know, my family and my home, and I'm thankful that God is my provider, and he's been my provider for quite some time, and that he's living and powerful. And when you cry out to him, he always shows up in a big way. And I'm thankful for my grandkids.
Oh, hello. My glasses on. Alrighty. I gotta read Revelation 7:11. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. And 12 says, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So, yeah, the obvious one, like she said, my grandkids. So I'm really thankful for them, and they're fun, and I'm glad they got to move back from Seattle, because that was like way too far. And the other thing is that this church is like means everything to me, because I was looking for a church for like 2 years. I was telling the pastor, it's like I don't think they were woke, but they were NAR, New Apostolic, you know, that Reformation stuff, where they think they're going to set up the whole kingdom here, and then Jesus can come back. So that was what was going on. So I was hopping from church to church. So when I found this place and they talked about the rapture, I was like, yes, amen, thank you, Lord. And then the potlucks are amazing, and the pizza. So praise God, and all's good.
My back hurts enough, I'd have been wrapped around her little finger.
Huh? Amen. Okay. Amen. Okay. You know, I'm thankful, and I just so much coming back. Even it takes me back to the beginning when the Lord called me in ministry to be the senior pastor. You know, I was reminded today that God, what God did in my heart and Beth's heart. Because just real quick, it was I was coming here to talk to a couple ladies about leading the women's ministry, because Beth is like I'm not going to be the women's leader. I'm not going to lead the women's ministry, and I remember I was coming out. We were going to have a meeting with a couple ladies, and I was going to disappoint probably one of the ladies, and which was going to be a whole different thing. So halfway here, I will never forget. I was right at Orchard Lake, right by Orchard Lake St. Mary's High School, right along the water. And the Spirit said, "Call your wife." And I'm driving out here to a hornet's nest. You know, it's in my mind. And the Holy Spirit said, call your wife. I called Beth. I said, Beth, the Holy Spirit told me to call you because I think we're supposed to do this together. And she goes, she broke down crying. I know the Lord just told me that I am going to be leading the women's ministry, which made it an even worse thing I was coming to, because I had to come and tell two ladies who wanted to lead the ministry, you know. And but as I'm so grateful for what God has done, and what He, I was kind of like, man, am I copping out by having everybody come up and me not being the teacher? I'm so grateful for all of you, because I just relive, understand something. What I'm thankful for is I've got to see God do this in each and every one of your lives. And it's never been about you coming to listen to me, but it's me getting to watch God work in each of your lives. I mean, I was kind of laughing because I remember Andrea and Carlos, when they started coming in my mind, I was like, you were really snazzy people. I mean, you dressed to the nines. I mean, you know, huh? You remember. I mean, and then God was going to take you to New York, and I was bummed out, but God's left you here, and, you know, Pam and Denny coming, and I remember talking to Pam, and just, she was hurt, she was broken, some things that had happened in the church, and getting to, Lord wants you to sing, and now see what the Lord's done in your life, and Art and Debbie, just all of you, what a blessing, Mark and Lori coming back, and you know, being a part of this. So Dave, just so you know, you've been a quiet strength for me in the ministry here, and so just thank you. I'm grateful for all of you, but that I've got to be a part of the journey for all of you in your faith with Jesus Christ. All of you, you know, not just the ones that shared, but each and every one of you that are here. That's special. So.